Hello. My name is Angela from Recovery Tools and Challenges. And today is actually April 24th, 2024. This podcast is going to be a little different than the ones I normally do. I have had a lot of issues. Not issues, I guess you could say, but a lot of things that have been bothering me. And like today, my biological sister and me had a fight, and so there was a few choice words, and I never hear from her. And then the days I do hear from her, she makes me feel worse than what I already did or what I was already feeling. So today, this podcast is solely from the heart and about my life. I was born into a family with a mom and dad and a sister. And my home wasn't so loving. Or in other words, my father was too loving. I'm not really going to talk much about the child molestation me and my sister endured as children. Me from the time I was 5 until 17 years of age. And then he turned around. Basically, when I became a woman and was having cycles and stuff, that would mess him up. And so he started with my sister around the 12 or 13 age. There's a lot I regret, and my sister regrets in our past, about not telling about a lot of things. But as kids, scared kids, and that wasn't something that was talked about in the 80s and 90s, and you didn't hear about it. And actually, I really don't remember learning about it in school, what to do if someone touched you or something like that. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. I remember bits and pieces, more bad than good, but there was good moments. And that was only basically when my grandparents from Tennessee or my other grandparents were involved. That's the only time we felt the safest. Other than that, we were never safe. Unless he was working on the road, because he was a truck driver. But weekends, we dreaded him coming home. Because I guess I was traumatized a little bit more as a kid. And was going through a little bit more as a kid. And my mom knew and chose to stay in the marriage. Why, I don't know. Will I ever know? Probably not. I do think I do know. Because she liked that money more than anything. And what better marriage to have than him be gone for a week and sometimes 2 weeks and she's got a nice house, TV, whatever. But in the midst of all this, by the time I was in school, I was fighting, rebelling. I defied authority figures. Police officers, school teachers, you name it, I had a mouth on me. I was always fighting and getting in trouble at school, in junior high and high school. My parents basically lived in the principal's office because I was always in trouble. I started drinking and smoking marijuana and cigarettes probably when I was 16 years old. My dad is the one that introduced me and my sister to Jack Daniels when we were 13, 14 years old. And that was the way he seduced my sister, or molested my sister, was to get us both drunk. Me so drunk, I was downstairs watching everything take place on the balcony upstairs, and knowing the feeling of not being able to help my sister, and the feeling of being drunk at 13 years old and high on marijuana. And that's the way he had planned it. Me and my sister was in a juvenile home when I was 16. That's how, or I spent my 16th birthday, because we decided to run away. Well, I followed my sister to a party at my neighbor's that weekend. And so my mom called the law, knowing we was at my neighbor's, but still called the law. And so the juvenile probation officer got involved. And, of course, we were on probation and was in the SAYS here in Southwest Arkansas. At that time, it was South Arkansas Youth Services, the juvenile home. That was the best thing that I thought happened to me, was being arrested and going to jail, and then going to the juvenile home because I was out of the house. I remember me and my sister being there together, but we were all on the opposite ends of the house. I barely remember that point in my life. But I knew at the age of 17, when I really started rebelling and having sex with people, skipping school, and all that, my mom decided to kick me out. She moved me in with, at the time, it was two grown guys. And then I met my son's dad. That time I was 17. I had was supposed to be a one-night stand with my son's dad and got pregnant. And I was 17 when that happened. And being that he was 27 and older than me, he did do right by me. And him and some friends ended up leaving and going to Alabama and finding jobs and sending after me after they were settled. In 97, I had my amazing son in August, and everything was good, except after I had my first son, my hormones, is what the doctor said caused it, had changed, and I went violent. I was very angry, a very, very angry, angry 18-year-old with severe migraines. And here I am trying to take care of a baby. But I did it. We did it, me and my son's dad, with the help of numerous friends in Alabama. And by 19 years old, I thought I had found something better and got a little attention from another man and ended up leaving my son's dad. And at the time, he went ahead and took my son. And I got with my first husband. During those 3 years, from 19 to 22, to, well, from 1999 to 2003, I was in the most violent. I never knew what violence was. Never, ever knew what violence was. When I met Mike, my first husband, at 19, I was, and also a crack addict. Because back then, crack was the thing, before meth, actually. And the violence I endured from Mike was so horrible. He even beat on my son, who was just a baby, 1, 2, 3 at the time. He stayed in and out of jail for domestic violence, alcohol, anything. He was literally the bad boy that I was looking for. But then, 6 months into that relationship was the most hell I have ever endured. The beatings was regular. Him cheating on me was regular. Parties at the house was regular. I mean, my life as a 19-year-old was just the most craziest life I ever expected. By the time I was 20, on one of his jail visits, I ended up getting pregnant with my daughter, our daughter. And me thinking getting pregnant would have changed him. Here he was, fixing to have his second daughter. And it didn't. It made it so much worse. At 8 months pregnant, he beat me. It was so bad that his mom and my son was there. My son was little, so his mom put him in the car and locked the car, while my husband, Mike's mom, trying to keep him off of me being that I was 8 months pregnant. He put a knife to my stomach, told me I was not leaving with that baby in my belly. He body slammed me. It was mom, his mom. All I can remember is mom trying to get him off of me. But I ended up having Mandy. By the grace of God, she turned out all right. But I did lose her at the age of 17 months old to the state of Alabama because of the drugs and the alcohol and the violence. And I thought I was in love. I stayed in that relationship until my husband, the one I'm married to now, but widowed from, bought me a bus ticket. At that time, it was like $80, and got me back here to Arkansas, where drugs and alcohol were still major, major part of our lives. But my husband, the one that died in 2018, the one that I was with for 15 years, loved me. Knew my past, knew my parents, knew everything about me. But he still loved me no matter what I did. And I did so many bad things to him, to his family, to myself. But his love was unconditional. That's just part of my testimony. But the reason I'm telling this testimony is because I'm 5 years clean. July 2nd will be 5 years. Am I happy? No. I'm working. I have my own place. I have three kitten sisters that keep me company and keep me sane. But other than that, have I healed from my past? No. Does it get thrown out to me all the time by certain individuals? Yes. How am I supposed to heal when it's always brought up in my face? How am I supposed to heal when I'm only 45 years old? And the best thing in my life, besides kids, are all dead and gone. How am I supposed to heal? Not only does it help me eat, it helps me with my anxiety, it helps me with my depression, it helps me with chronic pain. I suffer. I can't even get a good night's sleep without the aches and pains. My couch is not comfortable. My chair is not comfortable. And the most comfortable places lately I've been sleeping is on my floor. But that's okay. At least it's my floor. I am tired. I have three beautiful grandkids. One on the way. I'm tired of being judged because of I choose plants over pills. And I will always choose plants over pills. And I don't think it's fair that churches and Celebrate Recoveries judge you because of certain things. I understand that some people have addictions to marijuana. And I fully understand that. That's why I was upfront and honest to my Celebrate Recovery group about me being a medical marijuana patient, because I felt like it was something God wanted me to be honest. And that's the thing. God wants us to be honest, to tell the truth. For what? For people to mistreat you because of a decision that you know you're making to keep your sobriety, to keep your demeanor and anger down, because I use medical marijuana to get brought to me. I get up. I go to work. I come home. And that's all I do. Why? Because I don't trust people. I am in my safe place here at my home. And I don't have people judging me in my own home. I've come a long ways. You know, a long, long ways. And I'm going to keep going a long ways. You know, because people might judge me and not like me because of the things I do. But if you look on my Facebook, I am now a testimonial person that gets up and now speaks across Arkansas on the Ask Ethel panel about the benefits of medical marijuana. I am trying to help teach the benefits of medical marijuana and what the benefits and how it's helped me. That's me. Now, I haven't touched methamphetamines in over 5 years. I hadn't touched pills in over 5 years. Hadn't touched crack cocaine in over 5 years. Hadn't drank alcohol in over a couple years. And only drank socially. It wasn't to drink. It was just sometimes a beer is good. I don't even do that no more. All I want out of life is to be happy. Is to teach people about sexual abuse, domestic violence, addiction. That's just part of my testimony. I didn't even tell you the hospital visits I've had, the ODs I've had, the suicide attempts I've had. I am so, so tired of people talking and hurting people because they're judgmental. That's what's wrong with this world. It's the people in it. The hate. The everything. And I'm really tired of keeping my mouth shut about certain things. Why can't people just let people alone and let them live and be happy? Because they're miserable. They are miserable in their own skins. And I know this is off the topic, and this is not one of my regular podcasts, but I have been sitting in my apartment since my son left this morning talking to me about his problems. Why is life so unfair? Especially to the ones that are good, that are trying. I don't know. I won't let life beat me. It wants to. I have not done anything today but sleep. I've just now been up a couple hours, fed my kitties, checked my mail. All because of a couple of things my biological sister said to me that got me to thinking. Anyway, you know, I don't know about love. I don't. I couldn't even love my own kids properly because the one person that was supposed to love me and take care of me and raise me is the one that molested me and showed me from get-go that men, not all men, but some men are pigs. And I'm saying that not all men, because all men aren't. So, I was doomed from get-go. Because I was never showed love. My mom was jealous of me. Although I was a kid. Why in the hell are you going to be jealous over a kid? Your own kid. But that's okay. I love my mom and dad. I forgave them in order for me to move on with my life. But it never goes away. What do you say when you see them in the store? I mean, I've been around them, but it's still like I'm healing from stuff that I never healed from. And then I have people like my biological sister today say things to me that she had no right saying to me. And yeah, I don't know how to love. I don't know how to show love. I was deprived from all that. And that's not my fault. Not my fault at all. But what I can do now is reverse it. And the love I do have in my heart, I show unconditionally to my family, my grandkids. And that's all I can do. I know I've probably just rambled, and this probably doesn't even make sense to a lot of people, but it makes sense to me because this is not scripted. I'm literally sitting on my couch, looking at the TV on pause, watching my kittens be crazy, coming straight from my heart on how I exactly feel. I will tell my testimony, all of it, one day. But the only reason I told this much today is because I'm tired. I'm so, so tired. When I think I'm doing right, I get knocked back 10 steps. When I think everything is going good, I get knocked back 10 steps. Let's stop the hate. Please, please, if you're in a situation and you're not safe or don't feel safe talking, there are ways to always leave a situation. There are ways to find support out there for domestic violence, for child abuse, sexual abuse, rape. You just got to learn to reach out to the right people. And for those of you who know me, know I've come a long ways to go. And I'm so glad and thankful for all those that have been with me by my side through this. Because every day is a learning process. Every day something. But I just wanted to do this podcast because if you do need help or do need a friend, please look me up. Facebook, Angela Dowling. Also, was a addict on Facebook, a recovery group. I'm the admin. And also here on Recovery Tools and Challenges. I do appreciate you all listening to me and supporting me. And I hope and pray that maybe this touches someone. Thank you once again. I'm Angela Dowling from Recovery Tools and Challenges. Also, look me up with the addict on Facebook recovery groups. Thank you.